So I appreciate the thoughts from that psalm. Every time I hear that psalm or read that psalm, it takes me back to life in the late 1900s, back when I was at SMBI. In Brother Val Yoder's class, we sang a song based on that psalm that probably a lot of you know. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit, trust, delight, and rest. The verses go kind of in that order. And I wish I could sing it by memory, but I don't think I can make it all the way through the words, so I think we'll hold off on that this morning. But that's a nice little chorus to sing based on that psalm. Lots of good things from King David there as he wrote them down, almost in a proverb style. A little bit of an update before I get started this morning. Unfortunately, you have to look at me this morning for the next few minutes. My much, much better looking half is not with me today. She is in Pennsylvania, was there, got there Tuesday, was planning to return today, but extended her stay until Wednesday. She got up there on Tuesday shortly after her mother got back from the hospital after a couple days and had an episode of CHF, congestive heart failure, and pneumonia, I guess. And returned home. My wife got there. She's much slower, and she's on some oxygen sometimes. Not full time, but a lot of times. She's on some oxygen now. And a little bit declining like that. And they plan to have a somewhat of a family meeting, I guess, tomorrow to talk about some things. And so we extended the stay until Wednesday. So hopefully she'll return late Wednesday evening. So that's a little update there. It is good to be with you. It's a blessing to be here today, isn't it? It's a blessing to meet together this way. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel chapter 7. We'll look at this verses 7 through 12 today in a sermon titled Press On in Prayer. Matthew 7, 7 through 12. And thank you for the water, whoever brought that up here. Thank you. Press on in prayer. Have you ever wondered why is it that some people succeed in having, it seems like they succeed in having their prayers answered? They pray, and they might even let you know that they're praying about this or praying about that, and it seems like, wow, their prayers got answered. Wow. How's that happen? Have you ever wondered how some people seem to have a greater understanding of Scripture? You spend time reading the Word and studying the Word, and yet you come to church maybe, or you sit in a class, and somebody else is always just like, wow, how do they know so much about the Scripture? They must memorize like every day a new passage or something. How do some people reach more souls for Christ? They maybe work in evangelism somehow, or maybe they're out on the streets and talking to people, and they come with this blazing testimony about they met this person this day and that day and had this great time with them. And how's that happen? Is it a skill that they have? Is it a natural ability that they have? What is it? Are they genius? President Calvin Coolidge, years ago, made this statement. Press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of perseverance. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. But in his Sermon on the Mount here, that's where we are today in Matthew's Gospel, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about the virtue of perseverance. I think that's the key to these things, these questions that I just asked. Perseverance. It's especially in its relevance to prayer today in our text. And that gives us motivation to persevere in our service to God as well. Additionally, in our text today, we're going to look at Jesus and his teaching and how God answers prayer. Sometimes he answers prayer with presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T. And sometimes he answers prayer with his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Let's read our text today, chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. I have it on the slide here. And can we all stand together and we'll sing. We'll repeat the words here. Let's start over here on this side. You all read the white and you all read the yellow. Ready? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. All right, thank you. You may be seated. Answers to our prayers should be anticipated. Answers to our prayers should be anticipated. In our text today, Jesus is teaching on prayer. It comes immediately after the text about being careful in judging others. That's the last time I spoke, I talked about that, where Jesus talked about judging others. And I don't think that is a coincidence. We need God's wisdom. We need God's direction in these times. We need to pray earnestly and by faith with expectation that God is hearing our prayers. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, this is Jesus speaking again. He says, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." He wants us to pray anticipating an answer. The Apostle James in chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Story is told of Brenda. Brenda was a young woman who was invited to go rock climbing. Although she was scared to death, she went with her group to a tremendous granite cliff. In spite of her fear, she put on her gear and she took hold on the rope and she started up the face of the rock. She got to a ledge where she could take a little breather. And as she was hanging on there, the safety rope snapped against her eye and knocked out her contact lens. So here she is on a rock ledge, hundreds of feet below her and hundreds of feet above her. Of course, she looked and she looked and she looked, hoping that it had landed on the ledge. But it wasn't there. She was far from home, and her sight was now blurry. She was desperate, and she began to get upset. So she prayed to the Lord and asked him to help her to find it. When she got onto the top, a friend examined her eye and her clothing for the lens, but there was no contact lens to be found. She sat down, despondent, with the rest of the party, waiting for the rest of them to come up the face of the cliff. She looked out across the range after range of mountains, thinking of that Bible verse that says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." And she thought, "Lord, you can see all these mountains. You know every stone and every leaf. And you know exactly where my contact lens is. Please help me." Finally, she walked down the trail to the bottom. At the bottom, there was a new party of climbers just starting up the face of the cliff. And one of them shouted out, "Hey, any of you guys lose a contact lens?" Well, that would be startling enough to Brenda until she learned why the climber saw it. You see, an ant was moving slowly across the face of the rock, carrying it. Who do you think told that ant to pick up that contact lens and carry it? I believe it was God. Why would an ant pick up a contact lens? It wasn't food. Ants like to carry food in their mouths. What do you think Brenda gained through this experience? Well, I think I know what she gained because I think I know what I would have gained. I would have gained much more faith in God. a better understanding of how great God is and how much he cares for her, even this tiny little thing of losing a contact lens. Yes, the idea of this story is anticipate God's answer in our praying. She prayed in faith that God would answer. And he did answer in a miraculous way in this case. Now, he doesn't always answer that way, but he will answer. And let's pray in faith. Now, let's look at the principle of perseverance in verse 7 of our text, the first verse. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Perseverance in prayer is the implication here in these verses. Albert Barnes, he's a commentator, he made this statement. The phrases in these verses here signify to seek with earnestness and diligence and perseverance. Ask. Literally, Jesus is saying, keep on asking. It will be given to you. Keep on seeking. You will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. So then, by the progression of the terms themselves, asking is one level of inquiry. Seeking suggests a step up. As one goes about to find what they're asking, you have asking plus an action, you're seeking. And then knocking is another step up. As you persist in finding what it is that you are seeking, you're asking, there's an action of seeking, and then you persevere. Do you see the progression? That's persevering in prayer. I have a lot to learn myself in this area. Maybe you do too. It's challenging to me. Perseverance is particularly relevant to the matter of prayer. As Jesus later implies, we're going to get to this verse later, but it's in verse 11. It says, "Then, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" Jesus often stressed the importance of persistence in his teaching on prayer. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, we have the parable of the persistent friend. Verse 5, "And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." A little bit later, in chapter 18 of Luke, verses 1 through 8, we have the parable of the persistent widow. Verse 1, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Did you ever hear this little saying? The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Perseverance usually pays off. I remember, I believe it was when my daughter Krista was looking for a job after high school. She went around different places and was looking for a job, and I had to remind her, you might have to go back. If you go to an employer and talk and inquire about a job, and they might just kind of push you off or give you a quick answer, but you may need to go back again and maybe a third time and just really show an interest in the job. I said, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and it worked. She had different jobs. I'm not sure which one she had to go do all that with, but it did happen with her, I remember. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Persistence, persevering. Inventor Thomas Edison understood perseverance. He famously said, "Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up." It was perseverance when Edison, after failing 1,000 times, said, "I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps." All right, so we talked now about perseverance in prayer. We have to have perseverance also in the matter of Bible study. Many people give up too soon in their Bible studies. That was one of the questions earlier that I asked when I started was, have you ever felt like some people are really, really good at their Bible study and their discussions about Bible, and like you study and they study, but it seems like they're miles ahead of you? Well, maybe it's because they're persevering more than you are. Maybe. Many people give up really soon, but those who persevere are the ones who benefit from the blessings that God's word provides. The psalmist says in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, "Blessed is the man," actually let's read this together, everybody together. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither." Verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates day and night. That's persevering in the law of the Lord. All right, the next one is in Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. Just follow along as I read this. And notice the words that I have here in yellow and along the lines of persevering. Okay? "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Persevering in God's word, staying in the book. I think Verlin shared that many times. Some admonition he was given when he was ordained. One old preacher told him, "Keep your nose in the book." That's what it takes. But God has promises for those who persevere in studying his word. And then we have the matter of evangelism. Persevering in prayer, persevering in Bible study, persevering in the matter of evangelism. Many people don't bear fruit, and they give up too soon. Sometimes we reap what we sow. Maybe sometimes we're not out there being a bright light to those around us. And so it doesn't come back to where we see fruit. But we need to be persistent in shining our light in this dark world. If we desire success in any venture, but especially in prayer and Bible study and evangelism, then we must adopt the virtue of perseverance. And Jesus goes on now to provide a motive for perseverance. In verse 9 of our text, "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or, if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" See, God delights in giving good things to his children. And to illustrate this, Jesus gives a simple argument from the lesser to the greater. In other words, men give good gifts to their children who ask. That's true, but Jesus says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Earlier in his sermon here, Jesus stressed this fatherly attribute of God. First of all, in regard to physical necessities, back in Matthew chapter 6, the chapter just before this, verses 31 and 32, he said, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Excuse me. But now, in regards to the things that are good for us, he says in verse 11 of our text, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? A motive for perseverance. This is especially true in regards to prayer. As Jesus promised to his disciples with conditions, he said in John chapter 15 and verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, there's the condition, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. So it's conditioned upon our abiding in him and his words abiding in us. You will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. The Apostle John also wrote 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that, here's the condition, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So it's conditioned here upon our asking according to his will. This assumes that we know his will for us. In other words, his word is abiding in us. The more we stick by the book or in the book, the more we know what his will is and we know how to pray. James the apostle wrote in chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because why? You ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So there's a wrong motive to have in your prayer for your pleasures. You're asking amiss. But if we ask according to his will, that's different. This is presuming we are not asking for personal gain and for personal pleasure. All right, to persevere then is a noble virtue. It's especially that way in regards to prayer. So we have a Father in heaven who is not untouched by the persistent pleas of his children. We have the promise that providing we do not ask amiss, persistent prayers will not go unanswered. If we desire to receive and find and have doors open to us, then we need to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. Not only in regards to prayer, but in all ventures worthy of Christians, in our Bible study, in our evangelism, and so forth. Now, let's take a look at the last verse in our text, which is the golden rule, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Therefore. Starts out with that word, therefore. We should imitate the divine goodness. Theologian and commentator Charles Ellicott said this, God gives his good things in answer to our wishes. If only what we wish for is really for our good. It is man's highest blessedness to be like God, to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, and therefore, in this respect too, he must strive to resemble him. So we're looking here, and we're trying to understand what the word therefore is therefore. Trying to imitate our loving and our gracious Heavenly Father. We just had these verses about prayer and how that he gives good things to those who ask. He gives, good gifts to those, his children. And so It says, therefore, and how's he do it? Remember how God loves us and how he does it back then. So now let's go into this golden rule text, verse 12, and see how loving and gracious our Father in heaven is, and we need to imitate that as his children in our responses to others. Sometimes we are faced with a need to make a decision on the spur of the moment. And we wonder, what is the right way to act? Jesus, in his sermon here, provides a wonderful tool for us to put in our toolbox. Okay? This simple rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This great truth is a principle that ought to govern our attitudes toward others. Warren Wiersbe, the late Warren Wiersbe, he said, the person who practices the golden rule refuses to say or do anything that would harm himself or others. And then he goes on to say this, practicing the golden rule releases the love of God in our lives and enables us to help others, even those who want to hurt us. But remembering that practicing the golden rule means paying a price. If we want God's best for ourselves and others, but others resist God's will, then they will oppose us. We are salt, and salt stings the open wound. We are light, and light exposes dirt. So in our responses, we need to be loving and gracious like our Father in heaven. But in doing so, it might not come back that way to us, and we need to be willing to take that by God's grace. Remember this about the golden rule. Practicing the golden rule is not always easy, but it is always right. Think about that. Practicing the golden rule is not always easy, but it is always right. Now, let's go on and look at some other things. The golden rule versus the silver rules. There's many religions in this world, and they teach similar things, but not exactly like Jesus taught it. It's not that these things that they're teaching are wrong. It's just different than what Jesus taught. So the Hindu religion says, this is the sum of duty. Do not do others which, if done to thee, would cause thee pain. And that comes from the Mahabharata, and that is an ancient poem from India. The Buddhist religion says, hurt not others with that which pains yourself, from the Yudhanavarga, and that also is another writing from the Buddhist religion. The Jewish traditions teach this, what is hateful to you, do not to your fellow men. That is the entire law. All the rest is commentary from the Talmud. All right. Muslim, no one of you is a believer until he desires for his brother that which he desires for himself, from the Hadith, which is another collection of the sayings of Muhammad apart from the Quran. And then there's the Baha'i religion that says, he should not wish for others that which he doth not wish for himself, nor promise that which he doth not fulfill. It's from the Book of Certitude. It's a holy book of them that they have. So these different religions have these different sayings and these different teachings, and I wouldn't say that any of them are necessarily wrong, but it's not what Jesus taught. It's not like the golden rule. So we call these the silver rules. Jesus' rule was slightly different. Jesus requires you to do something favorably to others, while the others only prohibit you from doing something unfavorably to others. That's the ones we just read. The golden rule, do unto others what you want them to do to you. The silver rules, don't do to others what you don't want done to you. Note the difference. With the silver rules, all that is required is that you don't harm other people. But with the golden rule, what is required is that you show kindness to others. And I might add, in doing so, you may or may not receive kindness in return. But what did I say earlier? Practice the golden rule is always right. Always right. Okay? Jesus' rule is truly the golden rule. The others are silver rules. Of value, yes, but not as much as gold. Golden rule is a sort of pocket knife, you might say, or a carpenter's tape rule. How many of y'all have a pocket knife in your pocket right now? I guess I can ask that question. Some of you carry a pocket knife almost all the time. I don't. So that pocket knife comes in really, really handy at times. When you don't, you might be going out throughout the day, it's like all of a sudden you have a need and that knife is right there. Otherwise, you'd be going looking for something. Or a carpenter's tape rule, same thing. When you're out on the job as a carpenter, you have a tape measure. So handy to have many times throughout the day. So the golden rule is kind of like that. It's right there in our toolbox, like Jesus gave it to us. It's right there ready for us to use on the spur of the moment. It's always there. Grab it and go. Even in an emergency. You don't have time to talk to a friend about the situation or ask a teacher or read a book or anything to get advice, but it's right there. Treat others as you would want to be treated, and it's unlikely that you're going to ever go wrong or do the wrong thing. Now, let's get a little bit practical. Examples of how to apply this rule. First of all, in reaching the lost. Imagine what it must be like to be told, if you're a lost individual, you're unsaved, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and somebody comes up to you, imagine what it must be like to be told that you are wrong, you're in sin. Okay? That can be shocking. But wouldn't you want to be told that in a loving, with a loving and a patient spirit? So as you would have other people try to persuade you, so treat those whom you seek to share the love of Christ with. Do it with gentleness. Do it with patience and kindness. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, it says, "And as servant of the Lord," this is in the section of Scripture here talking about, can't think of the word. Somebody help me out. Preparing for an ordination to serve the offices. What? I can't hear. Officer? No, yeah, okay, the officer, but the what are they called? The, huh? Thank you. Oh, and a servant of the Lord, I should just get on with the verse and talk, don't worry about it. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Think about it. Listen to this here. Be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. But notice at the beginning of this passage of Scripture here how we are to approach these people. Be gentle to all. Be patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth with a lot of emotion and a lot of raised voices. No, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now let's catch this verse. Speak the truth. You don't mince the words. You don't have to mince the words. You don't have to back off on the truth. But you must do it with love. It must be balanced. It must be balanced, or you're not going to get your message across to this lost individual. All right, let's go on. Number two, in correcting one another. No one likes to have their mistakes and their errors pointed out, do they? Do you like that? It's not fun. But when necessary, wouldn't you prefer to be approached with a meek and a quiet spirit, a meek and a patient spirit? So just think about the golden rule. As you would have others offer you constructive criticism, so give it to them. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one how? in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Thirdly, in treating our family, our neighbors, and our enemies. Everyone likes to have loving families, good neighbors, and no enemies. Applying the golden rule in these cases will not only transform ourselves, but also it may transform those around us, our neighbors, our family, and our enemies. Think about it. Sibling rivalry would cease. That's true. If you treat your siblings the way you want to be treated, there won't be any sibling rivalry. If you treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated, then neighborly squabbles would be non-existent. And if you treat your enemies the way you want to be treated, they'll probably become your friends. That golden rule tool in our pocket. Let's carry it with us. In closing, let's anticipate prayers. A little bit of a review here. Let's anticipate prayers. Answers to our prayers as we pray for God's will to be done, not our will. Pray for God's will and anticipate His answer. Let's persevere in our praying. Let's remember the steps. Ask and then seek and knock, all three together. Ask, seek, and knock. Perseverance. Remember that story of the persistent friend at midnight or the widow with the judge. What did they do? They didn't give up. And as we persevere in prayer, remember that God delights to give things to His children. He's not up there with a club waiting to beat us. He wants to give us good things and good gifts. He loves us just like a father loves his son or his daughter. So as we pray for others also and reach out to them, let's remember the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name, asking that you would help us to practice the golden rule, and that you would help us to be persistent in our prayers, in our Bible study, and in letting our light shine to the lost around us. Give us grace, God. Help us to stay focused on you. We ask again in Jesus' name, amen.